so that we may have a moment of prayer and we may prepare ourselves to hear from the Lord, because he has prepared something for us so that we may really get blessed in this day, because this is a day of blessing. Amen, amen. Brother Jeremiah will be there and he will pray for this moment. He'll pray for us. He'll pray for the word of God, and he'll tell us what the Holy Spirit has put in his heart so that he may share with us. Please, Jeremy, welcome. Amen.
Thank you very much, Papa Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to say we are grateful. We are grateful for the grace and the privilege that we have to come before you, to worship you, to hear from you. And this morning, Lord, our hearts are ready to receive a word from you. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us, we pray. Father God, I pray for myself. I pray that you may give me concision of speech, that you may give me conviction of heart, so that I may speak to your people. Thank you, Lord, because you are going to do it again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Yes, for those who are new, as you have heard, my name is Jeremy, and it's an honor and a joy for me to be sharing God with you this morning, and I thank our leadership for allowing me to do so today. And as you may know, we are still in this series of teaching titled Faith in Action and the Church's Mission. This series of teaching started with a message from Dr. Muteo, who gave us some important lessons that we learned from the woman with the issues of blood. And I know the message is still online. You can go and listen to it on our Facebook page or on our website. Last Sunday, we also had the blessing to receive a word from the book of John, chapter 9. That message was shared by Dr. Muyonga. And from that passage, again, we learned some important lessons from the healed blind man. And one of the questions I heard was, what kind of Jesus are we sharing out there? And today I'm going to continue in the same way with the same big theme, but in another particular aspect of sharing the faith and mission. And if you want to watch last Sunday and last Sunday but one messages, they are on our Facebook page, or you can go listen to them on our website when you have some free time. Today's passage is very familiar. It's a familiar one, the passage I was given. And when I was given this passage by our pastor, I remembered when we were still children how our mom sometimes used to have the same dish 3 days in a row. And we were complaining sometimes, especially when it was cassava leaves. In Congo, we eat cassava leaves. And she used to buy a bunch of cassava leaves that will last for at least 4 days. And every time we'll come to our mom, we'll be like, Mom, what are we going to eat today? She'll be like, we still have some cassava leaves from yesterday. I'll be, oh man, not again. So that's the feeling I had when I was given the reading for today. But please, don't mistake it for cassava leaves, because it's a nice one. So would you please open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we are going to start from verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. It says, Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. As I was saying, this is one of those familiar passages. And I'm sure you have that feeling like, Matthew 28, not again. You know, those familiar passages that you only start one statement and everyone knows the rest. Like, for God so loved the world and he gave and so on. Those familiar passages. But I believe we are going to learn something again from this passage. Because one of the things we need to know about every organization, including the church, is that an organization will only be as strong as it remains to its mission, to its core mission. And as a church, we are not, of course, we are a very different kind of organization, but for us to last and to be successful, we need to be true to our mission statement. And our mission statement is found in this passage. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And I decided to dub our message this morning as the sequence of discipleship. The sequence of discipleship. Sequence simply means a particular order in which related things follow each other. Basically, in the next few minutes, we are going to see together from the scriptures what are the practical steps we need to take in order to effectively share our faith and make disciples. Because as I was saying, every organization has a mission statement, and the church is no exception. Even though we are a different kind of organization, we are a body, we are an organism, we are alive. For an organization to last and be successful, it needs to be true to its mission statement. And we all need to know that God's mind has always been the same from creation, and it's the same for us as He called us in Jesus. God's mind in the beginning was, be fruitful and multiply. We see it in Genesis chapter 1 verse 20 and 28 again. We see it in Genesis chapter 9 verse 1. After the flood, He told Noah, be fruitful and multiply. In Jeremiah 29 verse 6, during the exile, the Lord told the children of Israel, increase in number there, do not decrease. The mind of God has always been the same all throughout the scriptures. When Jesus speaks of growth in Matthew chapter, even Jesus speaks of growth in Matthew chapter 13 verse 32, He says that the kingdom of God is like this small seed that grows to become a big tree. And so we are called to take this mission seriously. And we see the same growth following the first disciples in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6 verse 1, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the increase is still following them. Chapter 7 says, so the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Increase. God's mind is always the same, all throughout history. Acts chapter 12 verse 24, it says, but the word of God continued to increase and spread. To increase and spread. Mission statement everywhere. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. Acts chapter 19 verse 20, in this way the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. Numerical growth is both in the Old and in the New Testament. And I want us, from just looking at this passage, to start questioning why we still have so many empty seats. Well, we've been running this service for so long, but we still have so many empty seats. This should be our concern. It should be our concern. However, we need to remember that when the Bible speaks about growth, it is not only in terms of number, but in the quality of the people that we are discipling. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's what Jesus said. Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The quality. In the word of the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14 says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's the simple definition of discipleship. Maturing and growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Maturing and growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. So as much as we work toward reaching more people with the message of the gospel, we must ensure that the one that comes to us are also growing in the likeness of Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's discipleship. Christianity is not a marathon, but a relay race. I don't know if you know about the relay race. The relay race is a race where you pass the baton to the next person. And that's what we are called to do. We need to keep on passing the baton. As we are running, we pass the baton to the next persons. And one of the mistakes we have made is to think that the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 is only given to pastors and evangelists. But we need to know today that from the moment we came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ through his saving grace, we signed up for the job. We signed up for this job. The mission of the church is my assignment. It's your assignment. It's our assignment. Amen? We are part of the kingdom. In other words, we are under the dominion of the king. That's why Jesus could say, all authority has been given to me. In other words, he's saying, I'm in charge now. I'm in charge of your life. I'm in charge of everything that you'll be about. All authority has been given to me. So don't feel comfortable when we are all alone on the bench every Sunday. Don't feel comfortable. It must be a concern to all of us to see this empty seat and be like, no, we need to do something about it. Because it's our mission. It's our mission. That's a challenge to all of us, including me. And sometimes we look at the pastors and the evangelists as if they are the only one responsible. Today, I came to remind us that it's our concern, all of us. Someone once said that shepherds don't give birth to sheep. Shepherds don't give birth to sheep. Only sheep give birth to sheep. Do you know that? In the church lingo, pastors are shepherds and church members are sheep. And so shepherds don't give birth to sheep. Only sheep give birth to sheep. What a shepherd do is to feed the sheep. What a shepherd does is to feed the sheep. When the sheep go out to town and another sheep sees that sheep, it's be like, wow, you're looking so good. What have you been eating? And then you'll reply to them, bah, come with me. Let's go eat cassava leaves at Sebeka Gomaville. That's how discipleship, that's how mission is done. You understand what I'm saying? I hope we are all together. Shepherds don't give birth to sheep. Only sheep give birth to sheep. So this mission is our mission. This mission is our mission. This local church, the mission of God gave us, is not going to be fulfilled unless we are all intentional about sharing our faith in words and in action wherever God has placed us. So we should all be concerned when we have so many empty seats here while this service has been around for quite long. I think it's 2011. So every Sunday, every single Sunday when we come here, it's an opportunity to refill our tank. We are being equipped so that we may be effective in our mission out there. And you don't need a doctorate in theology for this. You don't need a master's degree in theology. You first of all have your story. That's the first question you need to ask yourself. What has Christ done in your life? That's where it starts. Practically, what difference did your Christian faith make in your life since you embraced it? What has Christ done in your life? That's a question you must ask yourself. For the first disciples, the resurrection of Jesus was the main message. They saw him dying, and then they saw him come back to life, and that's changed everything about them. And they were willing even to die in order to share this message everywhere. This is a story that they were ready to share, even if it meant persecution and even tragically death to them. So what difference has Christ made in your life? That's your first witness. And I hope that for you and for me, that story will be, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was dead, and now I'm alive. I was anxious, and now I'm hopeful. I was fearful, and now I'm filled with faith. I was crushed, and now I'm restored. I was defeated, and now I'm victorious. I was living in shame, but now I've experienced the grace of God. I was in sorrow, but now the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? I hope that will be our testimony. I hope that will be the story that we are going to share out there. So the question remains, what has Jesus done in your life? Go ahead and share that. That's the first part of your witness. And actually, it is so amazing. Once you realize what Jesus has done in your life, you can't keep it for yourself. You can't keep it for yourself. Number two is that we can't teach what we don't know, and more so ever, what we don't practice. Because Jesus said, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. You can't teach what you don't know. That's why we are called to know the scriptures. We are called to know the Bible. We are called to know our faith, the doctrines of our faith. Because it's not just about feeling. I talked about practice. Because it's not just about filling people with Bible verses, but showing them how these words give answers to the most pressing questions of our lives. The Bible is so practical, and it gives answers to the most pressing questions of our lives. Science can tell you how things work, but only the Bible can give you answers to the big why of life. Only the Bible. Why are we here? What is our final destination? Only the Bible has answers to those pressing questions. Questions about purpose, questions about marriage, questions about relationships, questions about how to take care of our material possessions, questions about parenting, identity, and so on. And many people are seeking answers to all these questions. And when we don't share our faith, we leave them in the dark and let them go find these answers in all the wrong places. We have these answers in the Bible. So we can't teach what we don't know. We need to go deep into the Bible and apply this truth in our life and see the difference that it will make. Because when people see the difference that the scripture is making in our life, then they will be attracted to it. It's not about showing how theologically accurate we are, but really how applying what we know from the scriptures has made a difference in our own lives, and so it can also do the same for them. Amen? It's about meeting people where they are, knowing the language of the culture. Because as much as we are called to know the Bible, we also need to know the language of the culture. And I believe Paul is one good example of this. You know, I was studying the sermon that he gave in Athens in Acts chapter 17. And funny enough, in all that sermon, he was quoting some pagan Greek philosophers. Paul, when he stood up, I'm just going to give you two examples. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting at the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious." That's what he said. You are very religious. But he was quoting a Greek philosopher called Sophocles. Sophocles, who said, "Athens is held of state, the most devout. Athenians, more than other, venerate the gods." Very religious. He's drawing a parallelism in order to reach these people with the message of the gospel. Acts chapter 17, 25, another example, where Paul said, "And God is not served by human hand, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else." Paul is quoting another Greek philosopher called Seneca. And this philosopher said, "God seeks no servant, he himself serves mankind." So he knew the language of the culture, meeting people where they are. That's how you are effective for the gospel. Because when you meet people where they are, you build bridges. You build bridges. And I could go on and on, but for the sake of time, I'm going to stop with those two examples. The point is, Paul did not consider it unholy to expose himself to the godless media and the art forms, books, plays, and poetry of his day. He did not merely familiarize himself with them. He studied them well enough to be able to quote and even italize their narrative. Paul, when he was talking to Christians, he used scriptures. But when he was talking to unbelievers, He used their language. He used their language. So if he was to talk sport, he was ready to talk sport. If he were to talk cinema or filmmaking, he was ready to talk filmmaking. That's how you build bridges. That's how you build bridges. And it may seem a bit controversial, but the Lord will give us the wisdom to do so as we journey through life. And that's how we become effective in all spheres of life. That's how we become effective. An offensive term for what Paul was using is subversion. It's called subversion. In other words, Paul was using the narrative, the symbols, and the images of the Greek culture in order to illustrate the story of the gospel. It's called subversion. And that's how we become effective in our witness in all spheres of life. That's how we build bridges so that people may slowly by slowly come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ through authentic relationship and having genuine interest in what they are doing, in what they believe. Lastly, one of the things we need to know is that we are God's providence to a lost world. We are God's providence to a lost world. When Jesus said, go, he was sending us. This same scripture applied to the disciples back then, and it's applying to us. We are God's providence to a lost world. And by providence, I mean the person or a group of people who contribute to the well-being or the happiness of others. If you are like me, I'm sure you all have relationship that was so providential to your journey of faith. I remember when I was coming out of high school, I was completely uninterested in church. I wasn't going to church, but I went to college and I met some friends there. I met some friends, and these guys were really into this church thing. I'm going to show you a picture. Our friendship actually started because we all had a common interest in computer sciences. But could you please show the picture if you have it? You know, I went to college and I wasn't into this church thing, but I met two guys who were really sold out for the ministry. They were really sold out for church and church activities. And somehow we connected because I loved computers and they loved computers. You know, the bridge. And yeah, these are these guys. I think you recognize Sarge, who led the service here last Sunday. I mean, these were the friends that I met in college. And they started inviting me to this youth overnight that they used to hold here. Because back then, the youth ministry at this church used to hold a youth overnight every last Saturday of the month. That's how I started coming back to church, because these two guys invited me to church. That was a providence. They were providential to my walk of faith. Just so you know, I'm not telling you stories. That's why I brought that picture. And I'm sorry that Serge is not here. Actually, he would have laughed at his photo. So this guy's life was so compelling. Their generosity toward me, their hospitality. We used to play Scrabble games with them. And afterwards, I started coming to this overnight. And back then, you know, I was like, why are these guys shouting and kneeling? It was so strange for me. Because I wasn't into church, wasn't into this church thing. When I used to see people kneeling and praying, I was like, this is very, very weird. What is happening here? But what first attracted me in those overnight was the music. The music they used to play during the break. And I'm telling you, that was the most beautiful thing I heard. I still remember that song. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I've closed the door. I will run the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. I first heard that song here during an overnight. And I'm telling you, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. But little did I know that these lyrics will soon apply to my own life. They apply to my own life because from that moment, I reconnected to the church and to the providential relationship that led me to that moment when finally I believe that eternal life is to know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So you are God's providential relationship. You are God's providence to someone out there who is lost and who is seeking for God. So would you please respond to that call? And those relationships continue growing I had relationship that helped me grow in my faith, in my theology, and everything. So eternity for someone out there is hanging on the balance of you stepping out in your calling as a disciple of Christ, of you being intentional about sharing your story, knowing and obeying God's word so that you can build this providential relationship that will, by God's grace, bring them to Christ. So my question for you this morning is, are you ready to respond to that call? Are you going to be intentional about passing the baton of faith to the next generation so that the kingdom of God may expand? If your answer is yes, I'm going to ask you to rise up on your feet so that we may pray together and ask God to help us. Let's rise up on our feet and pray. Father God, we are so grateful because you are so gracious to us. And in your sovereignty, you use mere people like us to reach others and to bring them back to you. And so, Lord, we want to be the people who will be providential to others so that they may come to know you. Lord, help us in this mission. We cannot do it without you. And we are so glad that you assured us in your word that you will be with us to the end of the ages. So, Father, we are so grateful and we believe that you are going to do it because you are a faithful God and you remain true to your word. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. May God bless his word.